Honestly, if I was you, I don't even know if I'd call in tonight. I mean, I got no answers. Barker's got no answers. John Schneider's got no answers. Ross Atkins has no answers. The khaki's got no answers. The 14 hitting coaches got no answers. Flatty's got no answers. Who's got answers? 416. I'm just kidding. You should call in. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. The numbers to call. The Blue Jays losing 6-2 to the Chicago Cubs. And I'm trying to find something to talk about, Kevin. I mean, let's start with Jose Berríos, first of all. He's been good all year. He's been particularly good at home. He gives up a couple of home runs in the first inning on changeups. He's allowed two home runs all year on changeups coming into this game. So he's doubled the, two times two. Yeah, he's doubled the number of home runs he's given up in changeups. What does it tell you that in the first inning of this game, the Cubs were able to take him deep in a couple of changeups?
If you don't locate a BP heater, a good offensive team is going to beat you. That's exactly what that means. Right, his slurve didn't have the location and the late break that it normally has and the changeup location. Right, when you have balance and you have to work both sides of the plate and you got to have a little movement with your secondary pitches, and they got to be late movement, right? He had good velocity. Velocity was there.
Yeah.
For the most part, the four-seamer rat was working. It was just the slurve and the changeup again. You know, when you're – you know, when you're facing a good team, Cody Bellinger, he throws a changeup middle in. I think he choked that off. Looked to me like he's trying to go away. He choked it off a little bit. You know, it stayed in his hand a little bit too long, and he left it middle in. You need that middle in to a dude, right? That Cody Bellinger's having a really good season. He's going to make you pay for it. It's sort of happens. That's six good starts in a row, Jeff. Sooner or later, you're going to give it up.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You've been around for how long? Bazillion years. Well, a lot longer than I've been around, okay? I want you to answer a question for me, because I got a question for you.
See,
to
I'm
answer.
Trying to change the impression people have of me. I can't that I'm cantankerous and old. So I think we need to scale back the old and cantankerous thing.
I didn't say the second part. I said you're old. I didn't say you're
all right.
Okay. Tell me why this is. The Toronto Blue Jays, your Toronto Blue Jays.
No, they're yours. They're not mine. I've never accepted ownership of them. They're your Blue Jays. You could talk about my Orioles and my Rays, but we will not talk about my Jays. Continue.
The Blue Jays are third in baseball in runs scored on the road. They are 13th in the American League in runs scored at home. They are 27th in baseball in runs scored at home. Can you explain that to me?
Can we take everything that was done to renovate the Rogers Center and undo it this winter?
Is that it?
I have no idea. But we talked about this. This has become, for the Blue Jays at least, pardon me, this has become a pitcher's ballpark. We've talked about Vladdy. How many home runs has Vladdy hit here this year?
Four, I think.
Four. Okay. I don't know. But it is a fact that this team doesn't play particularly well at home. Now, they pitch well at home, but they don't play particularly well at home. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. I mean, the dimensions can't have changed that much. You know, the dimensions can't have changed that much. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get into the whole thing to the, you know, does all the new stuff put in? I mean, is it affecting wind current? I don't know. I mean, none of that. I just don't know. But look, I've said, Vladdy doesn't have a home field advantage.
Nope.
He doesn't. And I find that really puzzling. Like, with all due respect to Vladdy, how many balls has he hit? And I know his exit velo is terrific. But how many balls has he hit this year at home where you've thought they were going to be gone? Not many. Gone, oh, I can't believe that. Now, Matt Chapman, maybe, in some instances. I don't know, Kevin. I have no idea. I have no idea what it is. But it is puzzling, and it's pronounced. And the fact that it's so heavily tilted, that there's such a I mean, the defense travels home and away, but the fact that it's so heavily skewed towards pitching in this ballpark for the Jays, I just find mind-boggling. I have no idea what it is, and I don't think the Jays do either.
Yeah, I think if they did, they would have corrected it already, right? Is it the wind blows a certain direction? They're trying to hit the ball in the opposite direction. They're out and around. They don't take as good of swings as they normally would take on the road. I mean, that's a serious big-time difference
between the two,
right? I mean, you're one of the worst teams in baseball at scoring runs at home. I don't know about you, but when they went down 3-0 in the first inning,
that was over.
I was thinking it's over. I mean, Javier Assad was carving them up with three different fastballs and a slider. I mean, he's a good pitcher. He ain't that good. That's the frustrating part, right? We had this conversation today. I asked John today, right? What you see what it could look like in those games in Boston, and then they go away from there and they face some decent pitching who attacks with fastballs, and it just, for whatever reason, the exit velocity and the slug, Jeff, this year on fastballs is just not very good. Like, they're getting their hits. They're hitting for decent average on fastballs. It's just the creating backspin, staying in the big part of the field, and doing damage on fastballs throughout their lineup consistently on an everyday basis is just not there. And that's very confusing for me. It is. I just don't understand
Kevin,
it. I'm sure they don't either.
3, 4, and 5 in the order today hit 2 balls out of the infield. Think about that. Guerrero, Springer, and Biggio. Think about that. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays losing 6-2 to the Chicago Cubs. Maybe tomorrow will bring a little boost of energy to the Blue Jays. It will be the day that the Blue Jays and their fans induct Jose Bautista into whatever you want to call it, the level of excellence. A reminder to get there early tomorrow. It's a great ceremony. Seen some of the sneak peek of some of the things that are going to be involved. There's going to be a lot of people there. A lot of his former teammates, coaches, managers showing up. It'll be a lot of fun. Get there early. And you know, Kevin, I was only half joking today, and it wasn't an original joke, but when Jose Bautista signed his contract today, the one-day contract to retire Blue Jay, I mean, I had the same thought everybody else did. Can you hit tonight? Like, could you put number 19 on and go out there tonight? I want to go to Sam in Hamilton, because I think Sam in Hamilton, you got the question, man. You got the question we need to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, today was kind of sad. I kind of think they quit today. I mean, some of the at-bats was kind of pathetic, and getting to the point where this is just who they are. And I think, to me, Ross Atkins made an absolutely horrendous mistake this offseason going from preventing runs. I think they prevented runs on offense instead of defense, because I can't watch another at-bat by Paul DeJong. I can't. Maybe, you know, I think you do have to trade Varsho this offseason. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, look at trading Dalton Varsho. I mean, you're not going to have Kevin Kiermaier next year. You are going to need an outfielder. I'm not blaming Dalton Varsho for this. I think maybe Dalton Varsho is just what he is. He is a tremendous defensive player who is capable of chipping in every now and then offensively, but he's not going to drive the bus. I mean, he's not even going to be sitting in the front seat beside the driver in the bus. He may be in the middle of the bus someplace or as far back as you can go, like eighth in the batting order, or eighth in the lineup, I should say. Pardon me. But, yeah, I mean, look, it wasn't Dalton Varsho's fault that he was moved into the cleanup spot earlier this year. Mm-hmm. But you know, your point is well made. I said this earlier this year, and it kind of went away from it a little bit, as I don't know if the Jays made their move in the East or the East made its move back to and around the Jays, but I still think this is an incomplete lineup, and I thought it's been an incomplete lineup all year. It's missing something. It's missing a bat of some description. And I don't pretend to know who that was or what it was. But again, I just cannot believe that the plan was to go into the year with this lineup. And, you know, Kevin, I guess the Jays have no, I mean, they've got no choice right now. The trade deadline's passed, and the guy they wanted was hitting home runs for the other team today. This is what they are. You know, unless they can find somebody else at AAA who's going to come up and give them a jolt. I mean, Davis Schneider gave them a jolt, but that's not going to carry over. Davis Schneider wasn't going to come in and go on a 14-game hitting streak. He just wasn't. But I don't know what else they do here. I mean, you've got George Springer hitting cleanup. You've got Merrifield leading off. You don't have Bo. There's only so many things you can do if you're John Schneider. And right now, you're basically, well, look at this lineup. Merrifield, Belt, Guerrero, Springer, Biggio, Chapman, Kirk, Varsho, DeJong. You know, think about that. That's the lineup you're running out in August, trying to win a division title. And it's not a good enough lineup. It's not a good enough team, period.
Yeah, and also you got Chapman, Kirk, Varsho, DeJong. I mean, does that ooze fear from an opposing team when it comes
fear from the fan base, maybe, but
that's what it is right now. Look, the names that we thought were going to be really good and get big time hits just consistently are not doing that. And that's why I brought those stats up. I'm not trying to poke fun and pick on the Blue Jays. It's not because they're not trying.
It's an interesting stat, but everybody's trying.
It's just the fact that why does Vladdy look consistently the way Vladdy looks? Why does Chapman with a dude on second base look the way he looks? Is it that they have such big holes that they're easy to get out? Or is it just consistently 1-9 is underperforming? And this is sort of, I think, what you're going to get is occasionally you'll get where they score 5 or 6 or 7 runs, but consistently it'll be like if the pitching gives up 3 in the first.
And they did. Let's face it, Kevin. They beat up on some atrocious pitching in Boston.
Yeah, well, it's
good. They beat up on two openers.
I like to give them credit. I think they took good pitches and got the stinkers, and consistently that's not what they do. If they did that more, because they do have offensive talent, they'd have better chances of scoring more runs. But for whatever reason, consistently that just doesn't happen. And, again, I think it puts a lot of pressure on names that, quite frankly, can't handle the pressure, and then – it's sort of looking the way it's looking. Yeah, and it's a shame, too. Because, again, I said this today on our show. If they get half the offense that they got in Boston with the pitching and the outfield defense they play, they're the best team in the American League, in my mind. I don't even think it's close. But they don't get that consistently.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590-62. The Chicago Cubs have beaten the Blue Jays. 2 home runs in the first inning, 3 runs, a 3-0 lead. Cubbies were home and dry from that point on. The Jays getting their offense on an opposite field single by Alejandro Kirk and a home run from Brandon Belt in the 8th inning. Daryl in Cambridge, you want to talk about the hitters?
Hey, Kevin and Jeff, hope you guys are doing well.
Doing okay.
I'm sick and tired of... it's like a record which has a skip in it, and it just repeats the same thing over and over and over again. Zero fundamental baseball whatsoever. Vladdy's got a great exit velocity. The reason the balls aren't going out of the park is he's trying to uppercut it, trying to lift the ball out instead of hitting down on the ball, which creates backspin. Nobody's doing that. The only player on that team that's hitting backspin on the ball right now is Brandon Belt. Vladdy thinks he has a couple home runs early in the year, and he lollygags it to first base and gets a single out of it because it goes off the wall because he's putting topspin on the ball, not backspin on the ball. You have runners on second and third, nobody out, or runner on leadoff double. Next guy's trying to hit a home run. If it's a left-handed batter, pull the ball to the first baseman and get him over to third or bunt him.
You don't bunt in the second inning of a game.
No, but I'm not talking about the second inning.
Yeah, eighth or ninth inning, you can bunt. Before that, you ought to be thrown out of the game.
But they're all looking for the fastball up now, and they're taking the fastball straight over the heart of the plate. Throw the tablets, throw the scouting reports on the pitchers, go out there looking for a fastball, and adjust to everything else. That's all you can do. That's fundamental baseball.
Darryl, I'll turn it over to Mr. Barker.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Vladdy thing. Vladdy's got one of the most level swings, I think, in baseball. I think with Vladdy, it's
just selection more than anything else.
Maybe. I mean, look, Jeff, the last five or six games, they've been throwing him heaters. I mean, he got Noah Syndergaard threw him 90 right down the middle. Like, it's not like he's not getting good pitches to hit. That's why I asked you today, off air, is he hurt? I mean, that's the first thing you ask yourself. I mean, he's still playing, so I guess that tells you he's not hurt. At least not hurt enough that he's not playing. It's just, I don't know. I think sometimes when you're a hitter and you get in a some kind of negative slump, like where just something ain't working and you're trying everything possible to get out of that, and just for whatever reason it ain't working. Maybe that's what it is. It's just whatever he does, whatever he's working on in a cage. I mean, those. I just remember the balls off the tee that time on the field. I mean, I was told, because I did ask somebody, that a lot of his swings off the tee look like that. And my remarks to that person was, stop letting him hit off the tee. Like, it's such a, just if it's going to look like that, like, why? What's the point? And I don't know. Again, it's, he's got a pretty level swing. Again, when he hits the ball hard. It's just extension. It's just timing. It's connecting the hands with the lower half, the front foot, getting the good rubber band effect. Everybody knows what that is, right? It's consistently getting that, and it's consistently getting your pitch. And I think all those things meshed together is turning out to the year that he's having now.
Yeah, he's been – and Vladdy also today was charged with an error on a – I have no idea what he was doing on that play. He is much better. He's become a much better defensive player than I, or I think a lot of people thought he would become. But there are times, Kevin, where you can tell that first base may not be his natural position, right? You can tell that it's not something he's been born to. It's something that he's picked up, because there are still – there are still occasions where he gets caught in between, where he gets, it's almost like he's thinking of two separate things, catching the ball and trying to find the bag. And it looks clumsy at times, and at times it costs them. And today it cost them, it allowed Dansby Swanson to get on base in the three run fourth inning. Did it cost them the game? No, but when you've got a pitcher who's not having his best night and you're not scoring any runs and you're playing a team in the Chicago Cubs who are very good offensively. We talked about this in Blair and Barker. They're the best team in the majors post All-Star break in a lot of offensive categories. I mean, they're going to take advantage of it. I have to say this. I've been profoundly disappointed with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., especially in light of Bo Bichette's injury. I understand the whole next man up thing doesn't always work in baseball. That's a hockey thing. That's a football thing. Vladdy doesn't change as a player because Bo isn't there. But Vladdy had, it was important. And since Bo's going to be out for a while longer, it's still important for Vladdy to pick things up. Whatever that means. That may just be bad sports writer, talk show host lingo, but I need to see more from him. And if he's not capable of it, then I think we're learning something about Vladdy this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he hit over 30 homers and almost drove in 100 runs last year. I don't think you forget how to hit. That wasn't, we've been bringing
what
up
happened
the
then?
minor league numbers and. You know, what he did when he was in Buffalo and in Florida when they were playing half their games there. Yeah, I get it. That's fair. He still almost hit 100 RBIs and hit over 30 homers last year. Again, I don't think you forget how to hit. I don't know. I don't think they know. Like, a lot of the times he's in between something, whether that's mentally looking for something or mechanically in between something where the timing is just so thrown off that the front foot's not getting down on time. The hands are not up where they need to be to fire in a certain path towards the baseball when he tries to make his positive move. And I'm with you. They needed him. It would change how we think of him on the entire season just while Bo's out for this little while that he's out, if he could do well offensively.
Yeah, it is a tough look at this point in time. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. The Seattle Mariners have just taken a 2-0 lead over the Baltimore Orioles on a Cal Raleigh home run. Folks, the Mariners are breathing down the Blue Jays' necks right now. We will take a break, come back, and take a look around baseball, take a look around the AL East, and take a look at the AL East standings. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Guy like that, you kind of have to pick a side of the plate, you know, cutter, sinker, slider. I think tonight just kind of some quick outs and, you know, didn't hit the pitches we should have. You know, just I think quick outs was the biggest thing tonight. Comes down to, you know, we talk about, you know, getting big hits with guys on for one, but kind of how you arrive at that point and, you know, how you're working a starter and things like that. So, yeah, in a little bit of a rut right now and we got to turn it around, you know, fairly quickly. And, you know, there's some good pitchers mixed in there, and I think that it's just it's got to be consistently kind of a grind 1-9.
It's John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, talking about the quick outs today in a 6-2 loss to the Chicago Cubs. Yeah, you really got the impression. There wasn't a whole lot of I want to hang around on the part of the Blue Jays tonight.
Jeff, if you remember how we left our show today and I said, look out now, but this guy throws six pitches, what's the chances that they would be able to split the plate in half and pick a side? What did John just say?
Split the plate in half and pick a side.
You need to. How about that? It's almost like, again, when you're struggling this way, I've been through this. Every hitter that ever struggles, it's very individual. You got to simplify that thing till no end. When a dude's got three different heaters, you can't cover all three. Split it in half, pick one side. Two strikes, if you have to stand on your head, stand on your head. That's what he's talking about.
Time for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can bet in things like player props, totals, or game outcomes across many different sports. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Lots of ugly on the out-of-town scoreboard for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Boston Red Sox have beaten the Detroit Tigers 5-2. The Yankees beaten the Miami Marlins 9-4. Tampa Bay came back a crazy game against the Cleveland Guardians. Wander Franco walked it off. And right now, the Baltimore Orioles are losing 2-0. You'd think, hey, that's not bad news. They're in the same division. No, it's bad news because they're losing to the Seattle Mariners, who are chasing you for the wild card spot. So, as of this moment, the Baltimore Orioles are 71-44. They are in first place in the AL East. Tampa Bay is 70-48, 2.5 back, 5 up in the wild card. The Jays still holding a wild card spot. They are 65-53, 7.5 out of the lead in the AL East. Boston is 61-55. They're 3 back in the wild card. The Yankees are 60-56. They are 4 back in the wild card. The wild card race as it stands right now, Tampa Bay, we mentioned, 70-48, 5 up. Houston, 66-50, 2 up on the Blue Jays, who could be tied tonight with the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners actually are one game ahead of the Blue Jays in the loss column. And we already know, of course, that the Mariners hold the tiebreaker with the Blue Jays and conceivably the second tiebreaker as well with the record inside the division. So, as I said, not a good night to lose 6-2 to the Chicago Cubs. Shlomo and Scarborough.
Hey, guys. Mariners who were sellers at the deadline are partial sellers. It's interesting.
How about that, hey? How about the Cubs? Yeah. How about the Cubs? Why aren't they selling Bellinger? Why aren't they getting rid of Stroman? I know he's hurt, but what are they doing adding Jeimer Candelario? What are they doing? Why are they doing that? Huh. Interesting.
And we added DeYoung.
Well,
who's given us nothing. Yeah. Who is not the player to bet on when you look at his stats over the last 3 years. He batted under 200 two times. And he has been a shell of himself. I just don't get it. Like, you guys are, we definitely have high expectations for Vladdy, but look at the lineup he's batting in. All you got to do is just put all your game planning into Vladdy. There's nobody else for them to really be scared of in this lineup. Nobody's giving them competitive at bats right now. Chapman was good for the first 2 months, then absolutely nothing. I don't know what his deal looks like. I've seen like MLB trade rumors in a lot of places. Chapman's like the second highest ranked free agent, but man, how are you going to give this guy over $100 million or anything like that if all you get is defense and then a couple of hot streaks? Like, this has been really interesting. I would love to see us try a different strategy with the set, with shortstop. We can't be having this situation we have with DeJong. He's an automatic doubt. We got Espinal, who really hasn't had a fair shot all season. He had an all-star season last year. And we're supposed to have all this glut of infielders in the minors. It's got to be better than what we're seeing from DeJong. It's not competitive with him taking at-bats.
Yeah, listen, I appreciate the call. Look, I mean, Santiago Espinal was an all-star, but I can tell you, the thinking inside the Blue Jays organization is that he's not up to playing every day at shortstop. And that's really what we're looking at right now, which is why I got to admit, I'm taking any positive spin about Bo Bichette being back anytime soon, I'm taking that with a large measure of salt, because my sense is you make a deal for a guy like Paul DeJong, who at least is going to give you good major league caliber, better than major league average defense at shortstop. You do that thinking you're going to be without Bo for a while, and you do that thinking, look, we can't replace Bo offensively. Maybe we can replace him defensively. Listen, I like Santiago Espinal. I feel sorry for him. I'd like to see him get his chance, but I'm pretty certain that there isn't anybody in the Blue Jays organization that would tell you they think he's a better defensive infielder than Paul DeJong. But I have to tell you, if this continues, the Blue Jays are supposed to go to the playoffs this year, win around, and, I think we can throw the World Series out the window now, frankly. But they were talked about as a potential World Series team in the offseason, leading into the season. And they got to do whatever they can do to win. If that means bringing up Spencer Horwitz or whomever, then by all means, go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. By all means, go ahead and do it. Like, there aren't a lot of guys in this lineup right now, I think, that deserve to be given the benefit of the doubt. I just don't. They are what they are. It's August 11th. This is a pretty good sample size. You know, we've had our miracle or our unforeseen positive outcome in Whit Merrifield. And the pitching's been great and the bullpen's been great. The pitching and bullpen are better than we thought it would be. I mean, they just are. They're among the best in baseball. So you have to ask yourself, where does the sudden improvement from the lineup come? Where does it come from? And absent Vladdy and Chapman going on a heater, I don't think you're going to see it. Brandon Belt's not going to give you anything more than he is. Whit Merrifield can't. George Springer, like I said, I like what I've seen of him out of the four spot, not tonight. And the rest of the guys, Biggio, Kirk, Varsha, to me, they're just dudes. They're just guys. That's all they are. They're guys. They're guys that I could, guys that I'm fine with on my team. I'm not certain I'm fine with seeing all three of them in the lineup at the same time.
You're talking about slug. That's how they turn this thing around, is they start slugging people. Like, they start hitting some homers and hitting some doubles with first and second. That's how they're going to turn this thing around, right? You can tell the lineup with runners on base is just, for me anyway, consistently this year, is not good enough to string together four or five singles in a row. That's why we talked about slug. That's why I brought up today with John that Vladdy's 65th in baseball in slugging. Like, just say that out loud to yourself. Again, I said this to you on our show today. If I'd have said that to you at the beginning of the season in August, that's where he'd be.
Yeah.
The first thing out of your mouth would be, is he hurt? Because you couldn't believe that a healthy Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who basically is playing every single day, is 65th in baseball in slugging percentage.
He's playing every day, and he's been given shots at DH as well. So it's not like it's not like they're wearing him down at first base. Yeah, no. It is puzzling.
It is.
I think maybe, you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier. I think a lot of this. Listen, we have people in our show who played the game, managed the game, coached the game, generally manage the game, who've watched the Blue Jays, and they've said the same thing. They just have no idea what these guys are thinking when they go up to the plate.
Yeah.
So
maybe they're thinking too much.
This gets to the hitting strategy
from all kinds of different places, yeah, and just doesn't seem to work out for them. And
Gary and Kawartha Lakes, you've got some thoughts on Vladdy.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good.
Good. Love your show. Listen every day, guys.
Thank you.
Just when I talk to your screener, like, I'm 61, Jeff, so I'm your vintage. Played competitive hockey, competitive baseball all my life. And, you know, I know the difference of putting on a few pounds. I just see Vladdy is lower half and upper half is not in the sink. Kevin, you know the difference. And it looks to be, I don't think he's as heavy as he was, but it looks like maybe he's carrying an extra 10 pounds of weight that he shouldn't be, and he's out of sync. Like, he just doesn't look connected at the plate. What do you guys think?
Gary, thanks for the call, and thanks for the kind words. I mean,
yeah.
I would be lying if I said I've made a study of Vladdy's body type, because I've kind of made it a point. We went down that road with Vladdy in the first year and a half of his career. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did a really good job of getting rid of that narrative. And so I mean, I guess I could start paying attention. I will tell you that part hadn't occurred to me. It didn't. But yeah, you know, I haven't examined him closely. But you know, Kevin made the point. I mean, he's missing 91 down the plate.
Yep.
He's missing it. And
yeah,
I mean, that says something, Kevin. I don't know what it says, but it says something. It has to say something.
Yeah, maybe. Look, I've never walked up to Vladdy and picked him up. I have no idea if he's gained weight or not. Who knows? I know we talk about exit velocities all the time. I mean, that's still there. It's just when he hits the ball really hard, it's on the ground. I mean, that's what happens, right? Whenever you're not living up to expectations and what people think you can do, you start picking, you start looking for reasons, and maybe they've already looked at that. Look, I do think in the off season, Jeff, I don't know about you, it needs to get simpler. Everything going on with his swing, it's a lot. Like, there is a lot to get connected with, right? It's like one's going one direction and one's going the other direction, and half of it doesn't need to be going that direction. Like, that's what it is. How can you make it simple enough to where, like Cito Gaston said on our show a couple of days ago, the reason why Jose Bautista took off is he got his front foot down on time to be able to see the baseball. Does Vladdy look like he does that consistently all the time? No. That's why he chases, and that's why he's trying to play catch up with his upper half. And like, it's just like the caller said, it just doesn't look connected. And again, like, it'll just be intriguing to, we've seen a couple of pitchers on this team that went home in the offseason and basically said, this ain't going to work. We need to simplify this thing, right? And, you know, you say got connected and it's one move. Jose Barrios eliminated a windup going to, you know, out of the stretch all the time just so he could repeat that, get it out front, and it looks the same where he can control it and go deeper in games. Vladdy, for me, needs to go home and look in the mirror and go, hey, maybe I need to adjust. I'm very intrigued to see if he'll do that and see what it looks like coming into spring training next year.
Man, I can't believe we're already talking about next year. Will in Toronto.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey,
hi,
Will.
Kevin.
Hello.
Hi. Big fan. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I wanted to mention, I've been a fan of the Jays since 88 when I moved to Toronto, and it's disheartening to see how, you know, like the team went from, you know, like not being relevant, and then 2015, and then, you know, it got big again, and now it's just, I'm afraid that it's heading into that direction again where it's just not going to be relevant in a couple of years, you know, when Vladdy leaves, if you know, if he leaves and Bo leaves, it really would, like, the Jays only have two more years of a window, I'd say. And it's not looking very good, and I don't know what they're planning to do in the offseason, because if they're trying to sell, you know, tickets and the whole renovation, that's going to get more expensive for fans. If they don't put a winning club, if this happens again next year, nobody's going to go and watch the Jays. Like, you know, I mean, I've been buying the flex pack for the last 2-3 years, and I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm not willing to do that next year if this is the kind of performance that I'm going to, you know, go and watch. And I think, I really do think that they need to fire Guillermo Martinez, because I do believe that he's the one that's messing up Vladdy's tactics.
You know, thanks for the call. Here's the thing. I don't know if it's – they got so many cooks in the kitchen, I don't know who you blame. It may be, you know, that Guillermo doesn't do enough. And I'm not saying he doesn't work hard, but I'm saying maybe he has ceded too much control over the planning to some other people. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. As to your point about the team becoming, you know, sort of going back into that murky middle they were in before Jose Bautista came here and before they took off, I don't think that'll happen, because ownership has shown that it's willing to spend money. And given the renovations to the Rogers Center, giving the revenue, and it's not all about attendance, it's the revenue that's generated from from liquor sales, from all of that stuff, from concession sales. Given the success of the renovations, given what we're going to see next year, I don't foresee that as a problem. I don't think there will ever be a time in the next however many years where we're going to look at the Blue Jays and worry about payroll. I just don't think that's the issue. So it's not that they're going to become irrelevant. But, yeah, listen, we had John Morosi on this week. We're a year away from having to have a serious discussion about Vladdy. Like, if you're not going to sign him, do you have to start looking at trading Vladdy and getting something for him? Now, we don't have to have that discussion right now. But a year from now, we may be needing that discussion. You know, there's going to be a lot of change in this team in the next 2 years. There's going to be a lot of change in this team.
What a way to end the show, Jeff.
There you go. Optimism. Hey, lots of optimism tomorrow. Get out to the ballpark. Celebrate Jose Bautista's induction. A lot of your favorites are going to be out there. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last long enough with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer in rust protection, visit crown.com today.